Mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage, nor are mere images of earth and stone the true worshipable deities. These purify one only after a long time, but sacred places purify one immediately upon being seen. Purport. Because the personality of Godhead is absolute, the Supreme Spirit, any representation of Him, whether manifested in stone, paint, sound, or any other authorized medium, is not different from His original form in the topmost spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. But ordinary demigods are not absolute, being infinitesimal spirituals, and thus representations of the demigods are not identical with them. Worship of demigods or ritual bathing in a sanctified place gives only limited benefit to those who lack transcendental faith in the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, great Vaishnava saints like Vyasadeva, Narada and the four Kumaras are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and thus they are veritable moving tirthas, places of pilgrimage. Can the hiss be taken out of that? I'll probably turn the treble back a little bit, or the high. Even a moment's association with them, especially by hearing their glorifications, their glorification of the Lord can deliver one from all material entanglement.
That's good.
As King Yudhisthira said to Vidura, Bhavan Vidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutta Swayam Vibho Tirti Kurvanti Tirthani Svantas Tena Gadabhita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Bhagavatam 1.13.10. Arvind, can you do me a favour?
Yes.
Grab the first canto of the Bhagavatam from the book testament. And see if you can find the verse 1.13.10. We'll have a look at that too. 1.13.10. Om Jnana Timiram Dasya Yunanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurude Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahayam Tadastitva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandum Langhayate Girim Yakripa Samaham Vante Sivum Dina Tavanam. Seven?
Let's see what Prabhupada says. Also, since the verse has been quoted, we'll read that.
Prabhupada says, the personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere in space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. It's an interesting example. Electricity is everywhere. Well, I guess in the sense that, you know, the power of the atom is within everything. Right? So similarly also, the Lord's presence is contained within everything. But that realization or understanding of the Lord's presence is illuminated and highlighted especially by the presence of saintly persons, of devotees. So even though the energy of the Lord is permeates the whole of the creation, it's not obvious to everybody until somebody points it out. Even then it may not be obvious. One has to be qualified to hear the instructions of saintly persons. So just as a light is able to focus that presence of power, and just like Prabhupada gives the example, you know, Krishna is like the powerhouse, and he is the source of all energy. But you need a connection to the powerhouse. And that connection comes through the parampara system for the devotees. So realizing the personality of Godhead, one needs to be connected to the power. The means by which, just like if you want to get power, if you want to get light out of the, you know, the energy that will exist within everything, that has to be done through a particular process. And, you know, that means basically plugging your appliance into the plug and turning on the switch. And you get the light. The light, the energy has to be focused. The energy is everywhere, but the energy has to be gathered and focused into a particular place. And then connected to, and then from that source, you then are able to get illumination out of a light. And similarly also, in order to be connected to Krishna and be illuminated in Krishna consciousness, or in have a proper understanding of things, one needs to be connected, and the connection is through saintly persons. This is why the saintly persons are very important. We were discussing last night in the Bhakti Shastri, you know, that sacrifice is essential if one wants to make progress in almost any endeavor. Practically speaking, in any endeavor, you have to put yourself out to get a result. Right? Or if I ask the devotees, who has managed to get a week's pay without going to work? Or who's managed to pass an exam without, you know, doing any study for it? Practically speaking, nobody. You have to put effort in. And in order to understand transcendental or spiritual knowledge, or to gain or receive spiritual or transcendental knowledge, one has to act in a particular way. One has to perform activities, which means basically putting aside one's inclinations for self-gratification, basically, self-satisfaction, self-aggrandizement. One has to accept, usually one has to accept activities which are purifying, part of sacrifice, basically. And generally speaking, we don't like to do that. We put aside our, but the nature of the devotee is they put aside the shreyas, they put aside the immediate benefit of an activity for the long-term benefit that they might get in performing sacrifice. Now, we learn how to do that by associating, well, by Krishna's mercy. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati kutopi. By Krishna's mercy, we get the association of the devotees. We get the association of transcendentalists. And then by their mercy, we get an opportunity to understand Krishna. The importance of saintly persons. Without the association of the devotees, we wouldn't have an opportunity to understand or even be introduced to Krishna, basically speaking. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. It's the nature of the devotee. They see Krishna within everything. Aham sarasya pabhavo maka. What is it? No, that's not right. Aham sarasya pabhavo.
Mata sarvam pravati.
Yeah, that bit I know. The second line. One person say the second line for me.
Mata sarvam pravartate.
Pravartate, yeah. Mata sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante ma. Iti bhutva bhajante ma. Buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Everything is generated from me. And the wise know this. And they can see Krishna working within everything. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord, and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take bath in the Ganges or Jamuna, or to visit the temples situated in those places. Certainly we can do those things, but it doesn't mean only doing those things. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life, save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. What's utopian speculation? Anybody like to say? What's utopian speculation?
Example?
To produce what
possibly.
An example is communism.
Communism. Utopian speculation. What's utopian?
Not based on Shastra, but you just think, if you do things done a certain way, then you're
creating a utopia.
Everyone will be happy.
Yeah, everyone. This is it. Utopian speculation means that we can create a place which will be perfect and there'll be no problems. Right? Whereas Krishna warns us in the Bhagavad Gita that the material world is a place where there will always be problems. So no matter how much you work with God, you will never get a perfect situation in the material world. That may also refer to impersonal liberation also, because that's sort of like a promise of perfection, where we can get away with from all struggle and strife. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Sukadeva Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. That's interesting. Holy place, Prabhupada says here, is only holy because of the presence of the holy devotees there, of the saintly persons. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. So Prabhupada is criticising those who go to live in a sacred and holy place that then turn it into a business for material profit and gain. So this verse here, text 10, Krishna is saying to Krishna is saying to the sages, Narada, Vyasadeva, the four Kumaras, so many rishis and saintly personalities have come to Kurukshetra. They have come eager to see Krishna and Balaram and the devotees. They're keen to see the Lord. And the Lord and the devotees are keen to see them. And so the Lord's saying here, how is it possible that those who are not very austere and who only see God in the form of a deity in the temple can now get an opportunity to see you and get your association, to touch you, to offer obeisances, to inquire? Prashna is mentioned here. Darshana means to see. Spashana means to touch. Prashna means to inquire. Prava means bowing down. Pada archana, worshipping the lotus feet of the saintly persons. So Krishna's saying, how is it possible that those who are not austere can have your association? And then he says, mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage. Because, you know, very often when you go to a place of pilgrimage, then what do?
Bathe.
You bathe in the sacred waters of those places and become purified by that. That's the tradition. You go to a sacred place, and if there's a gut or a river, then one will take bath there for purification. That's the tradition. But Krishna is saying, that's not the real sacred place. That's not the real sacred place. Yeah, the Shastra says that if you bathe in the sacred place, then you'll be free of contamination and you'll be purified. Yet Krishna is saying it's not the real place. He also says the deities there, the images of earth and stone, they're not the real deities. Yet, why is it that we worship the deity? You know, when you go to a sacred place, you'll take bath in a river there, and then you'll go and see the temple and offer your obeisances to the deities. If you didn't do that, you would be considered to be offensive. Ignorant. Yeah, Krishna's saying they're actually not the worshipable deity. Which is sort of contrary to what we would ordinarily understand. Well, it's not that those places are not purifying or not important. And certainly we shouldn't neglect them. But Krishna clarifies this point by saying, these purify one only after a long period of time. But saintly sages are here. Darshana eva sadhavaha. The darsha of saintly persons purifies one instantly. And what happens when one comes into the association of the devotees? How is one purified? If one comes into the association of the devotees and takes advantage of that opportunity, then they will hear from the saintly persons.
They carry Krishna in their heart.
Yes, they carry Krishna in their heart. But not only do they carry Krishna in their heart, they'll share Krishna with others. They carry Krishna. That's what's said, that's what Prabhupada explains in the description of Uddhava. Wherever Uddhava goes, or wherever the saintly persons go, they see the presence of the Lord. So they see the potency of Krishna everywhere. And they see everything contained within Krishna's potency. So they are connected to Krishna. That's their vision. Just like the light bulb is connected to the powerhouse when you plug it into the socket. And then turn on the switch and the light comes on. So when we connect with the saintly persons, and the connection process is by hearing them speak, that's the switch, if you like, then we are automatically connected to Krishna by hearing. Very powerful, very simple process. We've discussed this last night actually. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido babanchi vitkana rasayana kata. The association of devotees allows us this satam prasangam. Satta means those dedicated to the eternal, to the absolute, to devotional service. They're the devotees, sattva, or the sattva is described. Means the devotees, those who are interested in the eternal. Satam prasangam, that association, mama virya samvido, Krishna says, is empowered by my potency. Bhavanti vitkana lasayana katha. So that katha, or the discussions, that come about as a result of the association with the deity is extremely powerful, is empowered by Krishna. Those topics are very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. Avanti Vritkana Vasayanam Kata. We were discussing last night for Vasayanam. You get this Brahma Vasayanam. And what was that? What was the Chayana Prabhas? Yeah, the Vasayanam, the giver of life. You can buy it in India. The Vedic, Ayurvedic doctors will sell you buckets of the stuff. to invigorate you. So this particular rasayanam is not something you eat with your tongue, rather, but you absorb it with your ears. And it enters within the heart and invigorates the spiritual life of the devotee. This is why Prabhupada wanted the devotees to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam every day and read his books for that matter, because by regularly absorbing our consciousness in the discussions of the transcendental topics, then we become enthusiastic about devotional service. What's that verse in the Bhagavatam? Nashtra prayasava bhattareshu nitya bhagavata sevaya. By regularly rendering service to the Bhagavat. Prabhupada explained, the Bhagavat means the devotee, and it also means the Bhagavatam. So by regularly rendering service to the devotees who are reciting the topics of Krishna, and also the rendering service to the Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, nashta prayeshva bhadreshu, anything that's inauspicious, abhadra, right? Abhadra, bhadra means auspicious. It's like subhadra means very auspicious. So abhadra means that which is inauspicious. So by regularly hearing the topics of the Bhagavatam in association with the devotees, then we remove all of the obstacles in our progressive path of devotional service. And as a result, one becomes inspired, enthused. And in that way, then the path of liberation is opened for the devotees. This is why the association of the devotees is so important. Just by seeing the devotees, one can become purified, inspired to engage in devotional service. Right? Very powerful. The association of devotees, extremely powerful. So Krishna is glorifying the presence of the sages here on the stage of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages have come to get Krishna's association. But Krishna is saying, how fortunate are we that we've got your association? By the association of the sacred places of pilgrimage, taking bath, one becomes purified. By seeing the deity, even worshipping the deity, one becomes purified. But Krishna is making the point here that actually that's not the real purification. The real purification is by getting the darshan of the sadhus, the saintly persons. And the real bathing, if you like, the real bath, taking bath, is to hear the topics enunciated by the devotees. And this is underlined by what we were reading last night in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. One is recommended to perform sacrifice. A duty of the Brahmanas. Right? The Brahmanas have come. Saintly persons. The duties of the Brahmanas. What is it? Yajan, Yajan. Patan, Patan. Dadati, Pratigraha. That means to perform sacrifice. and to teach others. To study the Vedas and to teach others the Vedas. To give in charity and to receive charity. These are the duties of the Brahmins. Basically, everybody is recommended to perform some form of sacrifice. But not everybody knows how to do that. Yet that's one of the duties of the saintly persons, and why they are so revered, if you like, or respected, is because the sacrifice is required. One has to perform sacrifice in order to make advancement in spiritual life. You can't just sit around hoping that you'll make spiritual advancement and not do anything. Or even by Prabhupada, you know, utopian speculation. You can't try to make a perfect environment for yourself without putting yourself out. You know, devotees sometimes they complain because life gets difficult. They don't want to have a difficult life. They want to try and have an easy life. But actually, it's not possible. And especially if one wants to make advancement in spiritual life, one has to put themselves out. It just will not happen. And the method by which we put ourselves out is to, first of all, in order to make spiritual progress, we have to, you know, follow the process of devotion ourselves. But if we really want to make spiritual advancement, it's recommended that we go out of our way to create opportunities for others to make spiritual advancement by basically propagating the Sankirtan movement, by going out on Harinam, by distributing books, by distributing prasadam, by maintaining a spiritual institution where people can learn, get the association of the devotees, and then take advantage of that association by learning these things. Yajam, yajam. Performing sacrifice. Patam, patam. Studying the scriptures. Dadati, giving in charity. Patigraha, receiving in charity. Right, so this is what the saintly devotees do. They give in charity. They give instructions on how to engage in sacrifice. How to worship Krishna. For their spiritual benefits, for their benefit that those instructions have been given. That's their charity. And then people, in a mode of reciprocation, will then give the devotees gifts. Prabhupada said this is actually our process. We are giving transcendental knowledge, our members are coming, and they're reciprocating by giving us some support so that we can worship the deity, make our offerings to the deities, and then distribute the prasad liberally. That's part of the sacrifice, actually. The devotees teach the sacrifice, but they also model it. They demonstrate it. So that's an acharya. An acharya teaches and then models the behavior, demonstrates it. So, association of the devotees is extremely potent. What is that? Sadhu Sangha? Sadhu Sangha? Sarva Sastra Koi? Labha Matra? Sadhu Sangha? Sarva Siddhi Koi? Sarva Siddhi means all perfection. Can be obtained just by labha matra, Prabhupada described as being a moment. There's less than a second's association with the devotees can give us all perfection. Less than a second. In most of our cases, we need probably quite a bit more than that. In reality. Right? We need to hear the instructions repeatedly in order to counter the effects of unlimited lifetimes of bewilderment in material existence. But the potency of the association of devotees is such that it only needs to be minimal. Who's an example of that? Who can think of an example of a person who received only a moment's association of a devotee with God, the all perfection? Prabhupada? I think he had a little bit more than a moment's association. He didn't have a lot of association, but he had more than a moment.
Didn't Arjuna ask to see Krishna's universal form and show it to him like infinitely?
He had more than a moment's association. He got more than a moment. He got more than a moment too. They didn't get a lot of association, but they got more than a moment. Who can think of an example? Do you think of an example, Yuri?
I was thinking of
McGarry. I think it's very short. It was very short. But Lama Mantra means just a moment's association and you can get all perfection. Well, they had there was a vital moment when they left their body, but they were. They would have heard the Bhagavad Gita being spoken. Any ideas?
Naradji.
Huh?
Naradji.
Narada? No, he's.
The hunter.
Could be.
No, it's kind of fun, you know, chief affection at the moment.
Yeah. No, I was thinking of, this is, what about Munchakunda?
Yeah.
He got the association of Maharaj, what was his name? No. Who did he kick? Munchakunda kick?
Kaliyava.
Oh no, yeah. Munchakunda, Kaliyava kick Munchakunda. And Munchakunda wake up. Roasting. Turned him into ashes. So he only got a moment's association with that. He got some benefit. Oh, actually, you know who got a moment's association? It was Nala Silvera and Money Griever. Right? They got cursed to stand as trees. Right? They didn't get a lot of association. But that, what was the end result of that curse? They got to see Krishna. So they got a lot less association.
But they had to remember that moment for 100 years.
Yeah, but it's just one moment.
They couldn't perform any more activities for 100 years.
Yeah.
That moment.
And then they got Krishna's darshan after that. That's all perfection when you think about it. They got all, and they were cursed. You know, sometimes we think, you know, oh, the sages, they're cursing people. You know, this is not very good, but actually the curse of the sage is beneficial.
Bali Maharaj? Sure, no association with Vamanadeva.
Yeah, Vamanadeva is not a devotee, though. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I think it might have been you who mentioned quite some time ago in class that one person saw Prabhupada in the airport. Everyone paid their obeisances, and he was at the other end, like at the other end of the group of devotees. Everyone paid their obeisances, and he just saw Prabhupada. And years down the track, he's become a devotee.
Yeah.
Just from seeing him at the moment.
Yeah, that's a good example. Just by seeing Prabhupada, there were people who were affected and later on became devotees. Yeah. Yeah, it may even be the accumulation of moments of association. Because I remember when I used to go into the city, I used to hear the Harinam party, and it would be from a distance. There's the devotees to remind me of Krishna, and then over a period of time that little bits of association I eventually became attracted.
Really, when you look at it in that way, so many devotees have come from book distribution at that one moment.
Yes.
On the street.
Yeah, that's very good example. Yeah. Of course, that mum's association with the devotee, they then took away one of Prabhupada's books. And then, you know, later on they got more association, because that's what it means. You get one little bit of association and that means you'll get more. Until eventually you'll be in the association of the devotees all of the time. As horrific as it might appear. I used to see the devotees, Guru Mandala Bhumi used to lead the kirtan. And Guru Mandala Bhumi is one of those rare people, not many people who have, you know, their eyelids are above their eyes, so you can see the whites above their eyes. So anybody here, you can see the whites above their eyes, they look a bit scary. Mm-hmm. And he used to have this really intent look on his face when he'd be leading the kirtan. And I used to see the devotees and I think, whoa, I might get mixed up with those guys. If you get mixed up with them, that's it, finished, your life is finished. So I was quite scared of the devotees. But at the same time, I knew the chanting of Hare Krishna, so the devotees would be chanting Hare Krishna, I'd be chanting Hare Krishna too. Along with the devotees. So on the one hand I was attracted, but on the other hand I was thinking, ooh, don't want to get mixed up with these guys. And of course in Adelaide at the time, the whole, you know, the Hare Krishnas were seen like this big, evil, sinister cult that were stealing people's children. So even imperceptibly, the association of a devotee is potent, powerful, because they are representing Krishna. And Krishna is the all-powerful. So when we go in association with the devotees, we get a sense of the all-powerful. And of course, because the devotees are always engaged in rendering service to Krishna, and being engaged in the first devotee I met, actually when I think about it, the first devotee that I met and who preached to me actually came to my house to buy some heroin off of one of my friends. But he was still a devotee. So you know, I was sat down and had a chat with him and he started preaching to me. I mean, this is a real Kali Yuga kind of a setup. But he was a devotee, initiated the disciple of Prabhupada, and obviously had some difficulty in his spiritual life. But at the same time that he came to me, he started preaching to me, and he told me the story of how Valmiki became a great devotee. And previously Valmiki was a robber. You know, he used to rob people, and then he met Narada Muni. An example of another person who got benefited by Narada Muni. And Narada Muni encouraged him to chant the name of Rama. And he said, I can't do that. I'm such a simple person. You know, all I do is attack people and plunder them, kill them, and then take their goods. Yeah. So he said, all right, then you can chant the name of death, Mara, Mara, Mara. But the thing is that if you chant Mara, 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 it becomes Rama, 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 Rama. So the robber and dacoit and, you know, thief became a very, very saintly person. So this is the story that this devotee told me. Ironic. So the association of the devotees is unique and powerful in that it inspires us also to take Krishna consciousness seriously. It was interesting, you know, although I can understand the anomaly of his being in our place and doing what he was doing at the same time, I was also attracted to the stories that he was telling me about Krishna. And so that actually increased my faith in the Krishna consciousness movement. There was another friend that I used to visit also for not devotional activities. And he used to have, in his room, he used to have one of those book stands. You know those book stands that are crossed like that? And he had the Bhagavad Gita on it. And I used to think, wow, that's cool. I'd like to have one of those. That's really spiritual. And it's funny actually, that particular devotee, when I used to go to the rock concerts, he used to always be there. This particular devotee. Obviously another devotee who wasn't necessarily fully, you know, practicing his sadhana as he should have been. But he was one person I always used to see at the concerts, and I always used to say good day to. And I didn't know him. I hadn't been introduced to him, I didn't know him, but it was just he would always be there, and I used to always say good day to him. So later on, when I actually was being taken to the temple with my friends, and I used to see that devotee, and I was very relaxed. Oh, this guy's here, he's a friend of mine. And then later on, he used to preach with me. So I used to go around to these people's places to buy dope, basically, and then they would preach to me. In fact, my friends used to preach to me, and they would say, yeah, you should get up in the morning and go to Mangalarati. You should chant 16 rounds. You should surrender to Krishna. And so I took it seriously. That's what I did. And then I realized, hey, come on, you guys, how come you're still sleeping in at 11 o'clock in the morning? And you're not getting up and going to Mangalarati, not you're chanting rounds. So, even the association of not very advanced devotees can be beneficial for a person. Right? Not very advanced devotees, in one sense, not very advanced. I heard Dr. Pranandana Prabhu make a comment that, you know, even if the devotees are the worst devotees on the planet, even if they're, you know, not practicing Krishna consciousness to the level that they should be, at least they're better than the materialistic people, because if you want to have a conversation about Krishna, then they're the people who will give it to you. Whereas the purely materialistic people, they will never talk about Krishna. But this was one of the devotees was complaining to me the other day. He's been outside of the temple ashram environment for quite a few years now, probably 10 years or so, married, working in a job, and he said to me, he said, one of the things that I really hate about work is that I can't just talk to the next person. Oh, yeah, Prabhupada said this, or Krishna did that. I just can't do it. Whereas when I'm in the association with devotees, I can say, oh, Prabhu, I'm really fried. Huh? I didn't chant very good rounds, or, you know, I got up late, or... But, you know, you just can't share Krishna consciousness with a materialistic person. So even the not very advanced of those, at least you can talk about... They're not going to complain, you know, well, what are you talking about Krishna for? What to speak of the very elevated and advanced personalities that are... Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, you know, these are the persons that are Krishna's. So what to speak of the potency of associating with the pure devotees, the pure devotees. Those who, as Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? Their activities, their example, their discussions, their meditation is all free from fruitive activities, so they're not doing it for themselves. They're purely concerned about the welfare of others. And they're free from any kind of speculation. As Prabhupada said, utopian speculation. In other words, you know, we can create a perfect perfection. in the material creation. So the devotees are essential for making advancement in spiritual life. Remaining in the association of the devotees is essential for making spiritual progress, because they're the only persons who will demonstrate this yajna, sacrificing all of one's possessions, all of one's activities, all of one's meditation on serving Krishna. Who will teach us how to do that? Who will instruct us in the science of self-realization, in the process of devotional service? Who will demonstrate it and who will teach us that liberally? They'll give it freely. So, Krishna is glorifying the devotees, basically. He's saying, you are the real places of pilgrimage. You're the real worshipable deity. Just to illustrate this point. The real worshipable deity is actually the devotees. That's why it's mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that, you know, you can be doing your puja. You know, we do our puja. And that's usually done with a very strict regulation, right? We get up in the morning, Mangala Aarti at a certain time. The offering is done in a certain time, should be done according to a particular schedule, and the deities are worshipped according to a strict timetable. But then Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that actually that timetable, if there's a saintly person comes, then the puja can be set aside and that person can be greeted. And it's not an offence to the deities. Of course, you then go and finish off your puja to the deities. But if a saintly person comes and you're doing your puja, it is not an offence to put aside doing the puja and greet that person, just like it's mentioned here. You should greet them smiling, you should give them pleasant words, a place to sit, wash their feet. You know, in modern culture that's probably not as essential as it might have been in previous days when people were walking, you know, long distances on dusty roads and so forth and so that, you know, that would be appropriate, right? The feet would be dirty, for example. You know, do even puja, then give them something to eat. Then after they've eaten, oh Prabhu, you must be Maharaj, you must be tired. Please lie down, let me give you a massage. Huh? Please be comfortable. And then, see, there's a reason for all of that. If you greet a saintly person and treat them in a very gentlemanly way, make them feel comfortable, then they'll speak. They'll give some transcendental knowledge. So this is why the householders and everybody's basically recommended to be very respectful to the saintly persons. Because if we're respectful and treat them nicely and make them feel comfortable, then they'll speak. And then as a result of their speaking, what will happen? We'll become enthused. This is the nature of transcendental transmission, if you like. That's the main, that's the switch, that's what turns on our bhakti. The association of the devotees, hearing from the devotees, and then by hearing from them, we become enthused like them. The switch. Turn on the switch and then, okay, fire it up. And it's interesting, in the beginning of the purport, it's mentioned here that the differentiation between Krishna and the demigods. Interesting. Where Krishna is manifest, then that's personally Krishna. In his name, in his form. But for the demigods, it's different. It's mentioned in the beginning of the purport. Krishna is absolute, but the ordinary demigods are not. They're also spirit souls who are servants of the Lord. So worshipping the demigods is not the same as worshipping Krishna. But worshipping the devotees is as good as, if not better, than worshipping Krishna. Interesting point. So this is our perfection. Actually, when we come into the association of the devotees, this is actually our perfection. And sometimes we think, oh no, I wish I hadn't met the devotees. Well, I generally don't think like that. But sometimes you think, ah, the devotees. They're always telling me what to do. Or, you know, they're always pranging our cars. They're always doing that. But we should never look at the devotees in a mundane way, even if they're doing something silly. We shouldn't see them in a mundane way. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, apichetsudarajaro bhajate mamananyava sadure vasamanta vyasamyaki vyavisato vyavisato taha. That the devotees, even if they make a mistake, because they're on the path of perfection, they'll achieve the ultimate destination, despite the fact that they make mistakes. Those mistakes are considered insignificant in consideration of the fact that they're on the path of perfection. They're on their way back home, back to Godhead. So, important for us to learn to appreciate the devotees. That even it means ourselves. We shouldn't be too hard on ourselves, right? Because, you know, naturally, you know, we're conditioned souls, we'll make mistakes, but really what's important is our ability to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and keep going. That's what makes advancement in Krishna consciousness. It is not unusual for people to find that there are obstacles in their path of Krishna consciousness. It is not unusual. In fact, it's to be expected. But even if there are some difficulties, we should learn to value that association and value the power of devotional service, especially hearing and chanting. And hearing and chanting in the association of the devotees, very powerful activity. And inspiring, very inspiring activities. And if we can learn to take advantage of that, it is here, Krishna says, you know, this is the most, the association of devotees, pure devotees, has the ability to purify us just by seeing a devotee, to become purified. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes?
I think it's in the Bhagavad Gita where it says that those who worship Krishna and become true devotees or true devotees get powers of like the demigods and stuff like that.
Can do, yeah. Can
do. Does that ring a bell at all?
Sorry?
Does that ring a bell?
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's a statement exactly like that in the Bhagavad Gita, but it's certainly true. Of course, we're not, you know, performing our devotional service hoping that we'll become empowered like demigods.
It says that automatically get the qualities
of the demigods. Yes. Yeah. That's, what's that verse? That's in the Bhagavad Gita. Harava Bhaktasya, that means anybody who's not a devotee, then they don't have any good qualities. But the one who's a devotee will. That verse is quoted in the Bhagavad Gita. Um, I can't remember the Sanskrit. Yeah, the good qualities of the demigods manifest in the character of a devotee. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or certainly as one makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, then definitely those characteristics. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.